All right, so it's Nick Harcourt, and I'm here with my mate, Joaquim Cuda, who I haven't personally seen for a little while, but I see you out on Instagram. I see you on social media. Obviously, I'm aware of the new record, which is why we're here. It's called Over That Road I'm Bound. And I realize that you're probably having these same conversations with a lot of people, but you know, take us back to the genesis of this record, because you were inspired by music that you actually heard as a kid, right?
Yeah, when I was probably around five or so, I remember there was a time when my dad played a lot of banjo around the house, and he has his one chair, still does, I think it's the same chair, and he would just go through songs that would come into his head. And there was a few songs that I remember really loving by Uncle Dave Makin. At the time, I don't think I knew, of course, I just remember just loving the songs. And recently, now I have two kids of my own, and specifically my daughter, when I took her to, she was probably around three at the time, to see my parents. My dad was in the chair again, or still in the chair, I'm not sure which one, and was playing the banjo, and I heard this one song, and I remember calling in from the other room, and I said, what's that one right there that you're playing? And he said, Morning Blues by Uncle Dave Makin. You know, you used to love that one.
And you recognized it, yeah.
Yeah, and I could, just something about it, just, it's like it came from some other place that, like, it, my memory, something was just, you know, and I grabbed my imbira, which is the instrument that I basically, the only instrument other than the drums that I, that's how I sing and write my songs over this thing, and just started playing along and found that it just works with kind of my own repertoire of songs of my own and things that I play. Just doing the Uncle Dave song on the band, on the imbira, just was so right. It just felt like it just fit in perfectly with what I do. And so that was the beginning of this project, was also learning to play them at my house for my kids, because I could tell how much they loved it as well. And it just slowly expanded from there.
There's a couple of questions that come out of that for me. I guess, first of all, for those who don't know, and to be honest with you, I didn't know until I started reading about the material about the album, who Uncle Dave Makin was. I know that he is considered to be a very early country artist. You know, he was making music before there really was a country music movement, right?
Right, exactly. He was born in the late 1800s in Tennessee, and he was like, I think he was a plowman, or he was something real poor beginnings.
Right.
And he basically took all this music that was very popular then, which was minstrel music and medicine show and vaudeville type stuff, as well as folky back porch fiddle playing banjo people that would just like kind of come through town.
Yeah.
And he took all, and the blues, he was very influenced by the blues as well. And he basically took all that stuff and repackaged it and repurposed it for a whole new generation of people when he was in his 50s. So it was like a whole new crowd. And he's considered the first star of the Grand Ole Opry. So he kind of, and you see footage of him, he has his white hair and he dances and swings his banjo and does this little routine.
Right. One of the things that he did, and you just alluded to it in your description of how he brought different things together, is that he took, from my understanding from a conversation you and I had a couple of days ago, is that he took all these different elements and created something sort of something different, and rewrote bits and pieces as well. That's something that you did as well, obviously, right? With these songs, to a certain extent, they were a jumping off point. You changed things up a little bit.
You used
the melodies, but then you changed words, and then maybe you just shifted stuff around in the same tradition, really.
Yeah, and that was, I didn't consciously do that. It was more, it started off kind of as a funny thing to do with my daughter, because at the time that I was working on the very first song, Come Along Buddy, we were reading this one book of hers, this children's book, a lot. And I just, something, as I was playing the song, I just started telling the story of the children's book in a very vague way that you would only know it if you, well, she would be the only one who would know it, basically. And that was on purpose. And she thought that was really funny, and she took ownership over it, you know, like, this is her song.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's great.
She knows about it. And then when I started playing it live, I would, you know, when I was putting her to sleep, maybe the next night or something, or the next morning, I would say, I played your song. I told the story, and she would always be very proud of that. And then it wasn't until kind of the project was finished when I started then looking into Uncle Dave more and saw that he was doing the same thing. So I thought that was a coincidental but very fortuitous route that I took.
Yeah, I want to come back and talk a little bit more about that and the instrumentation and the recording process as well. But through the miracles of, you know, the magic of digital technology, you're actually going to record three songs for us, and we're going to drop them in between this conversation. So what's the first song that you're going to play for us?
I think let's do Come Along Buddy, because I just talked about it, and that was sort of the beginning song
of the project. That's what sort of set everything off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So it's Joaquin Cuda, and this is Come Along Buddy.
Inside each one. wanna go now? Getting happy, don't you know now? Come along, buddy, don't you wanna go now? Getting happy, don't you know now? Come along, buddy, don't you wanna go now? Getting happy, don't you know now? Come along, buddy.
All right, so that was fun. Thanks for playing that for us.
Thank you, Nick.
I love the fact, you know, I love the continuity of this, you know, from when you were a child hearing your father, you know, play this music to now giving it to your daughter. And I want to talk a little bit more about, you know, the bonding, the family bonding around that process, obviously, and making the record. But when did you decide that this was more than just one song? When did you decide that you were going to do a few songs? And when did it become, well, I think maybe I'll do a record?
Well, I started doing one song live, which was the song Morning Blues. I'll do that one here too, but we, that was the one that my dad was playing in the living room on that day. So I instantly learned it because it just was so simple and just flowed. So I got that going for my live show and started working it up. And then I thought I should keep hearing, let me hear more Uncle Dave songs. So I got that big Bear Family box set that they put out. It's like 10 Uncle Dave's. It's 10 CDs. It's crazy. It's like
everything. Everything you ever did. Yeah. They put it on a box set sort of thing.
Right. And I brought it home and just started playing it around the house. And of course, my daughter loved it and became obsessed with only disc 5 and wouldn't let me put on 1, 2, 3, or 4 or 6, 7, 8. It had to just be 5. And I ended up being like, all right, well, I guess I'll just learn the songs on disc 5 because she literally would not allow any other. She was very,
the best songs were on disc 5. I mean,
she was right, because sometimes I would sneak another disc on and kind of go real quickly through them. Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, you know, she's right. There's really nothing. I'm not hearing these. I don't like these other ones.
Right.
So Molly Married a Traveling Man, that's another one we'll do here. That was song 1 on disc 5. So that was before she would eat her breakfast. Molly Married a Traveling Man would have to go on. So I couldn't help but learn those songs of that because I was just hearing them all day.
Right, right. So again, when did you decide that this was going to be an album?
I didn't answer. Once I had about 4 or 5 learned and I was playing them in the show, it just seemed like a natural thing. I should just do an Uncle Dave record because it would be such a radical thing to make like an all Uncle Dave Imbira centric. It's just so not done. Uncle Dave is the thing of more purists and banjo people and old time music people. And I'm not any of those. I'm not a purist. You know, I don't know who's on the liner notes of what record. There's people who are like that. And it's all just kind of feeling and just going with an idea. So it just became clear. I also didn't want to have to worry about writing another record, all of my own songs. It just seemed like a inspiring and fun thing to do.
Right.
And it took off. And the fiddle player, Raina Gellert, her dad is an old time banjo player named Dan Gellert. And that's how we met Raina. And she is also, turns out, was a Uncle Dave aficionado and started sending me songs, some that were not on the Bear Family box set, mind you.
Interesting.
And I know. And I was like, what? I don't know these songs. And so then I said, well, I got to record these now. And it kind of went on that way for a couple of years.
And so how did you record? I mean, did you set time aside like a week here and there and record at home? And obviously you got some friends in, including, family. You got your dad in to play banjo, guitar, bass, backing vocals.
Yeah.
You got your wife, Juliette Comagère, to do mm-hmm. backing vocals. So, I mean, very much a sort of family affair. But tell us about some of the other people that you pulled in to help out on this.
Well, we were staying at the time next door to my parents. And in their yard, there's a studio. And that's where my dad had done some film score work. And it kind of had become just a bit of a storagey place. But for these purposes, we brought in Martin, our engineer, and he set up a studio. And it was being that we were staying next door and my parents were there, nobody had to go too far to come in and record. Because I felt like if we were going to go somewhere far away, what with having the kids and driving my daughter to school, it would have been impossible. So this way, we would just wander over and get started. And then my dad would come in and put his ear to the door and say, you know, I think I'm going to try something right here. And then I would go back and help out with the kids. And then he would come in and record. There was just a lot of easy moving around. And yeah, then
it sounds like a very relaxing sort of.
Yeah.
But it also sounds like there was no pressure. I mean, you didn't have an album deal or anything at the time. You were just doing it because it seemed like a fun project.
Yeah, no, there was no zero pressure and no expectations, and nobody was, you know, where's I Need the Uncle Dave record by, you know.
No deadline. And tell us about working from home again as well. I mean, obviously, everybody's working from home at this point, but you made this record, you know, a couple of years over the couple of years before the pandemic. There's no pressure of studio time. Somebody's paying, you know, like $1,500 a day for a room or something. You can really just sort of like chill and take your time, right?
Yeah. And it seemed there's so many moving parts now with our two kids that if I'm going to be doing something and I want Juliet to sing on it, then there has to be, you know, my mom needs to be there. And then, but then she can't just do it all on her own. So that means my dad, he can record, but then he's got to go back and help. And then we were also close to her, her preschool at the time, which was up PCH in Sunset, like right there. Mm-hmm. And so I could go up in 5 minutes, drop her off and come back and just start recording right away and then pick her up at 3.
Right. So a lot of shuffling around to get the various family members to actually record. You're going to play another song for us right now. I should remind everyone that this is 88.5 Live at Home. And Joaquin is here. What are you going to play for us next?
Okay, we did Come Along Buddy. So let's do Molly Married a Traveling Man, which was the one that, this was my daughter's song one of the day.
Song two on this session. And let me just do the business here. It's from an album called Over That Road I'm Bound, which is out now on Nonesuch Records. Let's take a listen.
Hey.
Was another fun song from home. Thank you. As we cut all this stuff together, we're just Frankensteining the session together, kind of like a lot of people are making music these days, to be honest with you. I want to talk about obviously more about this one, but what have you been doing since you finished the record? Because I know it was done before the pandemic, and now everybody's at home and forced to be at home. How is that with a dad, a mom, two kids, yeah. And I can only imagine. My kids unfortunately are on the other coast right now, so I don't have to deal with the craziness of them being here nonstop. But how is that? How are you guys managing?
Well, we've been, the big news on that front is that they both just started an all outdoors farm school. We moved. It's incredible.
I mean, for everybody. Yeah.
Yeah. I actually can't believe every day that I send her off. We drop her off at like a trailhead. We moved to Altadena. We were used to be in Mount Washington. And then right after the pandemic started, we moved And that was right when it all the whole thing started. So we were so freaked out, and these movers came, and like none of them wanted to wear masks. And that was in March or April. I don't remember. I have no concept of time at this point.
Yeah, I know. I don't think any of us do. It's still March, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. It's this perpetual March. We drive up to this trailhead, and this little group of them walk up to this, it's basically just land that's been donated to this school. There's no structures. So it's all like, they're just up there, and it's pretty amazing. I mean, they're all having a pretty incredible time. So that has really changed things. The fact that we even have a few hours in the day where it's not four of us jammed up.
Time goes really quick as well, doesn't it? You got a couple of hours and then you're like, wow, that's gone.
I know. I mean, I'm like, but you know what? It's such a nice community out here that I can just call somebody and be like, can you bring Paloma home? And they'll say, of course. Like, it's the nicest. We're in like a wonderland right now.
What's your daughter's name? You talked about her, but you didn't tell us her name.
Her name's Paloma.
Paloma. Like, or maybe you did. I missed it. But okay. So look, I mean, you talked about your dad introducing you to this music. Let's talk about your choice of instrument on this. The mbira, electric mbira. A lot of people probably don't know what that is unless you tell them, well, the real basic version of this is the little African thumb piano, right?
Exactly.
Tell us about this instrument and how you were introduced to it and why this was the instrument that you chose to play on the record and to interpret the songs with.
Yeah. Well, we found this instrument builder. His name is Bill Wesley, and he lives down in San Diego. And I think we found him because my dad bought this crazy long, he calls it the floor slide. And it's basically like this long thing on four legs that they look like piano strings. And then he uses like a flower vase as a slide.
Oh, like so glass? It's played with glass?
It's just like a huge slide guitar, basically.
Right.
And he bought it for film scores and that kind of stuff.
Gotcha.
And once we met him, we met Bill, because once you're in with one kind of odd instrument builder, it's like a gateway. The floor slide was a gateway to Bill.
Right.
In mirror world.
Yeah.
And so he sets all of his stuff up. It's not chromatic. It just goes up in fifths. And there's something about it that you kind of just start to put your fingers down, and I do it and I'm instantly just transported. Like I'm very susceptible to the mbira. I don't know what it is. It's like, I just start kind of just going into a trance. And that was the minute I started singing the first Uncle Dave thing over that, it was just, it led the way. So everything, whenever I started on that, every song, you go in behind the mbira. So everybody that came in, you know, nobody would come in and start, you know, like crashing and being heavy footed. It's a very light touch, and I just kept it that way. Like I never played any drum set or anything. It's just like a light sound, and it's very, it's like a lullaby. That's how they all feel to me.
Right. Once you put these, well, I had one more question actually. Your voice. When you're, I mean, you sing obviously and you perform. When you were looking to interpret these songs, was there a different take you had to take with how you were gonna, you know, find a vocal for these?
Not really, because I mean, I just started singing. That's another thing that is probably once becoming a dad. I never thought of myself as a singer, or I never even thought of writing my own songs. It just never occurred to me. And it wasn't until I, maybe even when Juliet got pregnant, something changed and I started just singing. And the voice that I started singing with, it wasn't, I didn't even really think about it. It just was like, it felt like it was just always right there. And I just didn't know it, right? I didn't see him. It was just like this other
guy
that was right there.
Yeah.
So it's just that voice. The Uncle Dave thing just was right in line with what I had done.
You were finding your voice to sing.
Yeah.
Well, the record is out there. Obviously, you can't do any live performances outside of the house right now. And I'm presuming you had other plans for this year at the beginning of it, like most people did. I'm guessing you were going to do festivals and live stuff. And who knows when we'll actually be able to do that stuff again. You and I were talking a couple of days ago about drive-in shows that are beginning to happen. And I'm not sure that anybody's making any money, but people are working, which is great. Not just the musicians, obviously, the sound people.
Right, totally.
People an opportunity to work while we figure out, you know, what's coming next. But have you thought about that? Have you got any ideas to try and perform out live in, you know, in the immediate future?
I mean, I love the drive-in idea. I love drive-ins anyways. They're just because it's so, because it's like this vintage thing with the
old school theater thing.
Yeah, I always picture they're all going to be in old, like 57. I always picture them. Since I haven't been to one, I just assume that it's all going to be old cars.
Yeah. Everyone looks like they should be in American Graffiti or something.
Yeah. So I'll be probably disappointed when I see a bunch of, you know, like Priuses.
Exactly, Range Rover.
My only live things I've been doing is we have this little pod of like three or four families that all have been, do they call it pod or like
quarantine? It's a pod or a bubble.
Bubble,
yeah.
So my new thing is that the parents just come into my, where I have my setup, and they just lie on the couch and I just loop the Imbira and they just
zone out.
Bury themselves into the couch.
Nice.
That's kind of like, that's my big live shows right now.
And with the kids, obviously, as well. Everybody's there with their kids, right?
Well, this past time, I don't know where all the kids were, but there was just a mom and a dad. One was in one couch and the other was in the other couch. And they were just like staring at the ceiling. And I was just, so it's like, hyper micro shows for
mini micro shows.
Yeah.
Well, listen, it's great to catch up with you. You were very kind and played on some of my stuff years ago. And first time I got you out to help out on some Keita Klain stuff a while back. But it's great to actually talk. Talk to you about your music.
Thanks, Nick.
And you're going to finish up with one more song. What are you going to wrap up with?
Okay, let's do Morning Blues. No, we haven't done that yet. That was we're gonna go back to let's do Morning Blues, which was the one from my childhood.
Right, okay. Great to see you. This is 88.5 Live at Home. And Joaquin Cuda, the album is out now. And we're gonna finish up with another live track. Thanks, man.
Thank you, Nick.
Honey, come and kiss.
hates me, it's the worst I ever had. I ever had.